is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
In today's economy, it's more important than ever to get clear about your personal and professional goals and to commit to a plan that will get you there. Our guest today partners with Divine Source and Divine Intelligence to receive the highest good. Today, Mae McCarthy will share with us her own daily practice that supports financial success and prosperity. A daily practice that brings more peace, ease, love, and joy. Mae McCarthy has co-founded and grown six successful companies over her 30-year career, with the largest growing over $100 million in annual revenues. She is a successful entrepreneur, CEO, angel investor, and philanthropist. She outlines how to experience greater levels of success in her book, The Path to Wealth, Seven Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. Join us for the next hour as we explore building our wealth in all ways with our guest, Mae McCarthy. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Mae, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Justine. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. You know, I must admit that I'm not normally attracted to books on prosperity, or nor do I do daily affirmations. But when I was encouraged to pick up your book and read it, there was something, the metaphor that you use really spoke to me. And I mentioned it to some other people, and they have kind of said, I get that. And I know that in your corporate life, you work with what they call in corporations C-people, C-suite, the chief executive officer, chief financial officer, chief information officer. And you have another officer that you work with that's at the top of your pyramid, so to speak. So can you tell us about this officer?
Oh, sure. Well, I decided after experimenting for many, many years with my spiritual progress and my spiritual maturity, I recognized that I could rely on and trust that there was a divine intelligence, an all-knowing universal power that could guide me and direct me towards whatever it was I was putting my attention and intention on. And we've all been able to prove that over time. So I decided that I would partner with that characteristic of spirit that guides me through my intuition and through other people and signs and messages and gut instincts. And I wanted to bring it into my business. And so I decided I'd give it a title and call it the Chief Spiritual Officer, or CSO. And as I did that, because in the C-suite that you mentioned, these are people whose advice I value. They know a lot. They are subject matter experts for what they do. I mean, my CFO knows everything about finances and guides us and directs us and advises us on the financial health of our company. And so the CSO guides us and directs us to achieve what it is that we have as a company goal. And to point us in the right direction to take steps along the path to achieve what we want. So what I did was I brought it into the company, put it at the top of the org chart, and explained to my employees that this was a symbol. This was a symbol for why we were going to be a miracle-making company. In fact, we were going to have miraculous things happen so often that miracles were just going to become typicals for us.
And when you actually work with your, let's say, chief financial person or your information person, you meet regularly. So this is one of the things that you've made a practice of, is to meet with your CSO, chief spiritual officer, on a regular basis.
Right. In our companies, in successful companies all over the world, it's not uncommon for the leadership team to meet on a regular basis to review goals and projections and to sort of create a roadmap of where they want to be in certain periods of time in the future. And I decided that I would meet every single day with my CSO, because clearly divine intelligence, this all-knowing universal power, has much greater advice for me than any human being could have. And so I decided that I would set aside 25 to 30 minutes every single morning and actually have a meeting with an agenda and go over what I wanted to achieve in terms of goals for the future. And for me, wealth doesn't mean just money. Wealth means being whole and complete, lacking nothing in all areas of your life. So in this meeting, I not only talk about goals for my company and for my employees and customers and our world, but also goals in regards to every area of my life, my health, my relationships, my family, my properties, as well as my finances.
That's great. That's great. Now, I know that one of the things that you point out before we get into those steps, fear and doubt are things that might hamper our relationship with our CSO. So can you talk about why that is so and how it hampers us?
Oh, sure. So if this CSO, or whatever you want to call that source of intuition, that divine guidance, that intelligence, you can choose your own name, but CSO seems to work for a lot of people. But when you're asking for a intuitive lead or a guidance to take a step towards your goals, you have to be in a state that is relatively calm so that you can notice the messaging that you're getting. If you're fearful, if you're filled with doubt, if you're angry, if you're upset, if there's any negative emotion going on within you, it tends to take your attention away from what you want and actually gives fuel to help you have evidence appear that is in accordance with the fear that you have. I hear a lot of people that'll say, well, let me think about the worst case scenario in a situation. And that way, if anything better than that happens, I'll be happy. Well, we know that our thoughts and our words and our emotions are incredibly powerful in terms of attracting what we want into our life. And whatever we're putting our attention on, we're going to see more evidence of that happening in our lives. So when we're fearful, when we're filled with doubt, we can't notice the intuitive messages and the spiritual guidance that we want to get us towards our goal. Plus, we're putting our attention on that which we are fearful of, which in fact ends up producing more evidence of that very thing that you don't want to have happen, happening more often in your life.
I know that you mentioned the work of Barbara Fredrickson out of the University of North Carolina, I believe, mm-hmm. and her research is just wonderful. I encourage any listener to look her up on the internet. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned in your book, The Path to Wealth, you mentioned how when we are in that more positive frame of mind, mm-hmm. we actually have more a broader, wider access to options.
Right.
That fear and doubt kind of tunnel us into a more narrow bandwidth, so to speak.
Well, fear and doubt, again, you're putting your attention on what you don't want. When you're fearful and you're filled with doubt, your thoughts and your emotions are going to a place which isn't in accordance with what you really want to experience. So a better thing to do is to use your words, thoughts, and emotions to describe what it is that you want with gratitude, as though it's already completed. And I would invite your listeners to do a little experiment. Think of something fearful. Think of something that you're doubtful about. Think of something negative. And then say something positive out loud. You might say, I'm grateful that I now have a perfectly healthy body that is physically fit and trim, toned, energetic, and is pain-free. And I have a great time going on hikes and walks with my family and friends. If you're saying that out loud while you're thinking something fearful or negative, your spoken word will always win out to get your attention. And there's power in that spoken word. So when you're fearful, use your spoken word to transmute that into focusing your attention on what you actually do want.
So when we catch ourselves, let's say, catch ourselves in that saying in our head that litany of something negative, and I call it a litany because we kind of repeat them over and over, then you're saying just say out loud something that would replace that experience with something good.
Right.
Just say it out loud right then. Right. And even, I guess you don't have to say it real loud. I mean,
no.
but to say it, it puts it out in a way that is just beyond just thinking about it.
Yeah, you're trying to get a hold of your thoughts. If you really believe that your words, thoughts, and emotions have been responsible for creating the life that you're living today. And I do believe that. And many people that I know do believe that. But we end up causing an awful lot of what our current life situation is simply with the use of our words, thoughts, and emotions. If that's true, then any time that we are thinking about, talking about, feeling about something that we don't want, which is essentially what fear is, you know, fear is inverted faith. But when we are thinking about what we don't want, we're attracting that. We are powerful beings, and we are attracting more of that into our life. So we have to get that fearful thought to stop. And the way that we do that is by overpowering it with our spoken word. And if it's really, really scary, and it's almost like a record player going around and around and around in your head, then you might even need to call that a lie. You know, use a denial first to stomp it and stop it. I deny that my family history has anything to do with my future health.
I'm just reminded of when Jesus said, I think, if I'm remembering it correctly, my Bible, get thee behind me to the devil, get thee behind me.
Or to that negative thought.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like that.
Sure.
Get thee behind me that I do not accept this.
Right. I have a friend of mine who was told for several generations that everyone in her family, you know, grandparents, parents, siblings, had been diagnosed with diabetes. And so she had been told since she was a little girl that she was going to have diabetes. And so she had to deny that fear, that lie, and say, I deny that my family history has anything to do with my future health. I now go forward to be perfectly healthy, whole and complete, in every area of my life.
So should you add that other phrase to it? I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Mae McCarthy. She's the author of The Path to Wealth. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, maymccarthy.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Mae McCarthy, and she's the author of The Path to Wealth, Seven Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. And abundance in all ways, I want to add. Mae, there's one phrase in your book that it just really popped for me. And I think it's good in this society where we look at there's not enough to go around and all of that. You say there is no scarcity of good.
Right. There isn't. I believe that we live in an abundant, infinitely abundant universe. And that this creative intelligence, this creative force, this all-knowing creative power in the universe that created everything that ever was, is, and will be, which is we're all part of, is unlimited. When I say that, what I mean is that if we look at history and we think about the times when we felt that there was lack and scarcity, there were people that didn't believe that that was true, like I don't. And what they do is create something completely new. I mean, I don't know if you have a smartphone, but I do. I have an iPhone. Those didn't even exist very long ago. That's a whole new industry that created, you know, thousands and thousands of jobs and additional monies and wealth and conveniences. And so I believe that that creative power in the universe creates through us.
One of the examples that you give, and this goes back to your college days about an abundant universe, you told the story on yourself about you didn't have a lot of money, but one thing that you did is that you would buy a sandwich for a homeless person and hand a sandwich out. And that created something. It started a flow of something for you.
Well, I got a lesson really, really early on as the youngest of 10 children raised by parents in Hawaii. What I noticed from my parents is my dad was a surgeon, and he would tell many of his patients who couldn't afford to pay him money, he would say that you are a valuable person. There is something that is unique about you and something valuable that you can exchange with me, and you don't have to think about what that is now. Right now, I'm going to take care of you, and it all will be well, and you'll get healthy. And at the end of the year, my dad would see all of this clothing, all of this food, all of these wonderful bouts of entertainment that he would take us on as guests of other people. And he would continuously say that he could never outgive what he received in return. Even though he was giving away free health care to some patients, and he charged a lot to the ones that could afford it. But his idea was that he was demonstrating for his children and for us the law, and I believe this is a law, of giving and receiving. So if you feel that you're lacking anything, whether it's appreciation, money, time, harmony in relationships, you start giving that first. And so I learned that at a really young age, that if you start giving, you'll always receive that and more in return. And when I was in college, I used to give out a sandwich because I had to take a bus and change buses on the way to my office where I had a job. And it just seemed like the right thing to do. And I always got more than enough money back in order to pay for that and then some.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Plus, it feels good. It feels good to give.
It's good. And we also need to learn to receive.
Yeah.
That's another part of that. It's not only giving, but what when people, you know, even in little ways, if somebody gives us a compliment, not to just brush it off, but receive it, or whatever it is that comes our way, to be open to receiving it.
Right. And well, it's a law of giving and receiving, not giving or receiving. All right. It is a flow. You know, if you dam a river, you're not going to have the same kind of easy flow. Mm-hmm. And some of those areas of that are outside of the river after it's been dammed and now it's dry are going to die.
Yes.
So if you're not enabling that giving and receiving flow to operate freely, then there's going to be a short circuit or a blockage in another area of your life. So you have to be a great receiver.
I notice that when you talk about looking at what we want, let's say, what our, you don't use the word goals. I started to say what our goals are, but you substitute the word what our highest good is, rather than looking at goals, we would say, I would like this good to come to my life. Mm-hmm. Can you describe why you use that instead of goals?
They're interchangeable,
yes.
Really, but I describe it as good because that leaves it a little teeny bit open for something even better.
Right.
And so there's a... If I want a certain amount of money and I'm describing being grateful that I have it even before I have it, I would use phrases like minimum or more than, you know, X number of dollars with grace and in a perfect way. But when I'm describing that I have goals that are financial, I call it... my highest good, because there may be different vehicles, there may be different channels, there may be different value that has a financial value, but maybe it's not money that comes into my life. So it's my highest and best good.
So I can feel it being more open, wider in its possibility. Let's start to talk about the daily practice. And I know that you begin with reading something that's inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
So can you say something about that?
Sure. So the daily practice we mentioned earlier is set up like a meeting. You're having a partnership meeting with your spiritual partner, who is the source of your intuition, divine intelligence, all-knowing power of the universe. And I mentioned that I give it an endearing title, which I call CSO. So you need a place within your home to hold your meeting. And I recommend that it not be your bed, so that you are essentially training your brain to recognize that you're serious about achieving this good in your life. So in that meeting area, which for me is my couch, my cat comes and snuggles in with me. And you need to have some tools. You have to have something to write on. I use a spiral notebook that I buy from Office Depot in bulk for about $1 each. You need a pen or a pencil and something inspirational to read. So in this meeting with you and your CSO, the very first thing you'll do is read for 5 to 10 minutes, something inspirational to put you into a mood that welcomes more good into your life. And I find that reading short stories about ordinary people having extraordinary experiences, because spirit has somehow enabled them to become aware, to receive, to identify opportunities. Those are the kinds of stories that I find really uplifting. And if you can combine that with stories about other people receiving the same kind of good and experiencing the same kind of good that you want, that's even better, because it makes it more welcome into your life.
Wonderful, wonderful. So that's the beginning of it. And then we go into... I guess it's looking at what we want. You go into like a job description. What is my job? What is it that I want? What is it that I'm looking for? And then what is it that I'm asking the CSO to provide? Is that right?
Well, there are different roles and responsibilities for you and your CSO. Your job is to figure out what it is that you want. Be grateful for receiving it in advance. The CSO's job is to create the path for you to get there and to give you one step to take at a time along the path to get there. But it stands to reason, if you don't know what you want to have happen, what you want the outcome to be, then it's hard for anyone, including Spirit, to give you some advice. I teach workshops all over the country, and I had this one woman in a workshop who said that her goal was to be spiritually creative. That was what she wanted to do. And I asked if I could use her as an example and asked the class, you know, who could give her some advice to be spiritually creative, and no hand went up. So I asked her to do a little experiment for me and to pretend that she was laying in bed one night with a grin on ear to ear. She was just so excited. She was just about ready to pop. She was so happy because she met her goal of being spiritually creative. What happened that made her feel that she met her goal? So we came back to her later in the class, and sure enough, she's sitting there with a grin on ear to ear. And she said, okay, well, I'm retired. But if I met my goal of being spiritually creative, my artwork would be hanging in a minimum of 15 different locations for sale. And it would be on note cards and T-shirts for sale. And I'd be receiving at least $3,000 extra per month. But here's the best part. Someone would contact me at least once a week and let me know that because they saw my artwork, it inspired them to create their own. That's what spiritually creative means to me. So I asked the class who could give her some advice. Almost every hand went up. Somebody knew a restaurant that she could hang her art in on consignment. Another person knew an online printing company that created note cards using people's art. Another person knew a T-shirt company, and it went on. And so the point is that if we are all expressions of Spirit and Spirit works through us, then it stands to reason that if these, you know, with our limited rational thinking, we can come up with some advice. Imagine what the creative intelligence of the universe could do in terms of advising us on steps to take towards achieving the good that we describe. So it's really important that we describe it. And in step two of the morning meeting, that's where you start to describe it.
I want to remind our listeners, I'm here with Mae McCarthy. She's the author of The Path to Wealth, 7 Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Mae McCarthy, the author of The Path to Wealth. And Mae, you were just talking about how a wonderful example of it, to be specific about what it is that is